So I want you to turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to talk about the subject of faithfulness. Do you ever feel like you're alone? Do you ever feel like, wow, there's not many other voices? There's not many other people out there. There's not many other churches out there. You know, we're living in a day of apostasy. We're living in a day of apathy. But God wants us to be faithful. And I want to encourage you tonight. Don't be discouraged. Just because we're few doesn't mean we don't have the power of God. And just because you may feel alone doesn't mean that you're not right. I want to tell you something, folks. Following the majority is not a good thing, especially in American society. Amen? So though we are a minority, and not only are we kind of on the radical right, but we're on the radical right fringe, aren't we? I mean, we aren't just Christians. We're fundamental conservative Christians. And we believe the Bible literally tells us how to live. And there's few of us in the world in which we live, but by God's grace, we will be mighty through the power of God. We will have God's power to be faithful in a time of religious apostasy and religious apathy. The Apostle Paul is writing to young Timothy, and he's encouraging him to be faithful. And I think he's encouraging him primarily because Paul is about ready to die. We know this because in chapter 4, verse 6, Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered." Paul was in prison almost everywhere he went. He didn't look for a nice hotel, he looked for a nice prison. Because everywhere he went, he was being thrown into prison. And he says, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there are laid up for me crowns of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but also them that love his appearing." And I think Paul was a little concerned that young Timothy would cave in, would give in, and would not continue to be faithful to God. Timothy was shy. Timothy was sickly. There would have been a tendency for him to just quit and stop when it got hard. And I believe Paul is encouraging Timothy in this great book to be faithful. Now we come to chapter 3, and I believe Paul shares with us four realities of life as a Christian. Four realities of life as a Christian that will help us to be faithful. If you forget these realities, you'll have a tendency to be discouraged and quit on God. These are realities that Paul encouraged Timothy to remember, and I want to encourage you to remember. In the hustle and bustle of life, during this week, when you're struggling with, man, is it really worth it to serve God? Is it really worth it to keep going? I hope you will remember these four realities. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll start reading in verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. Paul says this to Timothy. He says, "Timothy, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." I'm going to stop there. We'll continue reading in just a moment, because in the verses I just read, Paul reveals to us the first reality of life as a Christian that we had better remember. If we don't remember this, we won't be faithful. What do we need to remember? Number one, we remember this. Persecution is promised. Persecution is promised. Paul tells us about his persecutions in these verses. He mentions three different cities. Did you notice those cities? The city of Antioch. In Acts chapter 13, verse 50, Paul and Barnabas are persecuted and expelled from the city of Antioch. He mentions, secondly, the city of Iconium. In Acts chapter 14, verses 5 and 6, the Bible tells us that Paul had to leave Iconium because there was a plot to stone him to death. He had to get out of town. And then, of course, the city of Lystra, which is the third city that is mentioned in the verses we read. The city of Lystra would have been actually Timothy's hometown. Timothy would have been very familiar with what happened in the city of Lystra. And in the city of Lystra, in Acts chapter 14, verses 19 and 20, Paul is stoned. He didn't get out in time. He was stoned and left for dead in the city of Lystra. Now we look at the Apostle Paul's life, and we look at great Christians' lives, and we think, wow, it would be great to be used of God like the Apostle Paul. But I want to encourage you to remember this. Everywhere Paul went, he was persecuted. So he tells Timothy, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I think Paul knew what he was talking about, don't you? Turn with me quickly back to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the apostle Paul discusses and actually writes out for us the many different perils, the many different persecutions that he faced. It's interesting, in the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul is literally defending his apostleship. That's the purpose of the book. And one of the ways that he defends himself is by talking about his persecutions. In essence, he's saying this, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ, and one of the ways I'm proving it, look at all the problems. Look at all the persecutions. And so he says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? Speaking of those who are challenging him, those false apostles who are challenging his apostleship. He says, I speak as a fool. I am more. In other words, I am the real apostle. I am more of an apostle. And then he says, this is the reason. In labors, more abundant. In stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils in the wilderness, or by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Folks, that's a lot of perils. Everywhere he went, he had perils, persecutions, problems. He says, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, the care that cometh upon me daily, all of the churches, he says. So he has persecution from without and he has persecution from within the churches. Everywhere Paul went, he was suffering. And if Paul was going to suffer and all the apostles were going to suffer, he tells Timothy, and I tell you tonight, anyone who lives godly in Christ is going to suffer. So, when you suffer, don't quit. When you're persecuted, when you're feeling like it's time to give in and you're discouraged, don't quit. Now go back to 2 Timothy because this is a theme that runs through the book of 2 Timothy. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5 verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Now there's nobody in this room that is seeking to be persecuted. That's not proper. That's not appropriate. You don't have to seek it out. It will come. All that live godly will suffer persecution. And so Paul encourages Timothy in this regard. Look at chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. He says, thou therefore, Timothy, thou therefore, endure. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Look down in chapter 2, verse 12. Chapter 2, verse 12. He says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. He's trying to encourage Timothy. Don't forget, all that live godly will suffer persecution. And then he says in chapter 4, verse 5. Turn over there. Chapter 4, verse 5. He says, but watch thou in all things, here it is, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Of course, I like that verse. Make full proof of your ministry. And so this is a common theme running through the book of 2 Timothy. And Paul is telling us, telling Timothy and under inspiration, telling us, You can never forget that if you're going to do anything for God, have any fruit for God, if you're going to live godly in Christ Jesus, persecution is promised. So don't get discouraged and don't quit. It's worth it to serve God. Amen? I know your pastor would give testimony after testimony of times of problems and perils and persecutions. I know that everybody in this room who's ever done anything great for God, who's trying to serve God, is going to talk about maybe family members not understanding. Maybe they think you're ridiculous. They think you're weird. They think you're totally crazy for what you're doing and following the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you have co-workers that are laughing at you. They think it's ridiculous that you follow Christ. Listen, that persecution shouldn't discourage us. The Bible tells us everyone who follows Jesus is going to suffer. For after all, Jesus suffered. And if He suffered, we're going to suffer. Don't ever forget, persecution is promised. This is important because we're living in a day where we're going to suffer. And all that live godly will suffer persecution. Turn back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. What we're trying to do is we're trying to learn how to be faithful. How to be faithful in a day of religious apostasy, a religious apathy. We can be faithful, but we won't be faithful until we remember these realities. Number one, persecution is promised. But let's talk about the second reality that's revealed to us in one verse, verse 13 of chapter 3. We've already read verses 10 through 12. Let's look at verse 13. Verse 13 reminds us of a second reality that a Christian life will experience. It says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." This is very important that we recognize. Perverseness is predicted. Perverseness is predicted. In other words, folks, the world is not getting better. And it's not going to get better. You know, sometimes we get frustrated. We have a kind of a dismal attitude about the culture and about the world around us. But what should we expect from sinful people? What should we expect from those who do not even believe? And so he's reminding us here, we shouldn't get discouraged. We should do all we can to be salt and light in the world, in the community, and even in the government. We should make our voice known. We should be a part of what's going on. But we can't expect the wicked world to be getting better. As a matter of fact, we should expect it to wax worse and worse. Now, here's the problem. At the very moment the world is getting worse, sometimes the church follows right behind. And that's a problem. We should be pressing on the upward way. New heights gaining every day. That's the song we sang, and that's the life we ought to live. Taking a step to higher ground. So we shouldn't follow the ways of the world, but it shouldn't surprise us that it's getting worse. As a matter of fact, glance back at the beginning of chapter 3. And notice how Paul describes the perilous times, the dangerous times of the end of time. It says, "This know also that in the last days," those would be the days any time Christ could return, any time as He raptures us to come be with Him. So any time before the rapture would be the last days. I think Paul thought he was living in the last times. Timothy thought he was living in the last times. And here's the reality. If His coming is imminent, then we are all living in the last days. Are you following me? So in the last days, even in their time, and progressively throughout all time in history, things have not progressively gotten better. They've actually gotten worse. And so He says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And then He describes what those times would be like. Look at verse 2. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Once again, we see a little bit of separation from false teaching, separation from deception, religious deception. And I think really the emphasis of these texts is that not only is the culture getting worse, but actually religious teaching and religious communities are getting worse. It's not just the culture, it's even the church. Specifically in verse 13, he says, evil men and seducers. This would refer to charlatans. This would refer to false teachers. Those who are using the Bible and Christianity to willfully deceive people. Deceiving them for their own namesake. Deceiving them for money. Deceiving them for sensual pleasure. These are classic examples of a real false teacher. If you're wondering what this looks like, just turn on TBN every once in a while. Not everybody on TBN is a false teacher, but I will tell you, a lot of them are. They are willfully deceiving people for the sake of their own credit, for their own money, for their own pleasure. And we ought to be careful, but not surprised, that it's getting harder and harder to speak the truth and to stand for the truth and separate for the truth. Evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And I think Paul was concerned, as we read in verse 10, he was concerned about the doctrine of young Timothy. He says, Timothy, you've seen my doctrine. And you know what Paul wants? Paul wants Timothy to continue in that doctrine. He doesn't want him to follow false teaching. So he was concerned that Timothy would not follow false teachers and that not slide down the slippery slope into the world. And I believe that ought to be a concern for all of us as well. We cannot forget that the perverseness of the world is predicted. And so Paul warns Timothy over and over about this. Look back at chapter 2. Chapter 2, in this very book, he says in chapter 2, verse 4, he warns him about getting entangled. He says in chapter 2, verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. He warns him about getting entangled. Don't be a friend of the world. Love not the world. Don't be conformed to the world. How about chapter 4, verse 10? He does warn Timothy by way of an illustration, by way of an example. Here's a man named Demas who had great potential and great possibility, but he got entangled and he slid down the slippery slope into the world. He followed the ways of the deception of the world. And it says in verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And this is a danger for all of us, that we would actually be traitors to the cause, that we would not be faithful to God because we love the world and we're sliding down in the ways of the world. So I warn you tonight, as the apostle warns us in Colossians 2 verse 8, beware. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. This is a danger for all of us, that we would actually compromise the truth of the gospel, and that we would compromise the truth of God Himself by falling in love with the changing world around us. The truth of God does not change. And so we got to stand firm, even when the world is getting worse and worse. Remember, I'm encouraging you to be faithful, but you cannot be faithful if you get frustrated and discouraged and are always talking about how bad the world is. It is bad. Yes, it is. But it's predicted. God predicts it. And we ought to do what we can to stop the flow of the world. We ought to do what we can to step up to higher ground. But it shouldn't surprise us that the culture and even the church is getting worse and worse. That shouldn't surprise us. It's predicted right in this text. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So I want to encourage you, be faithful in a day of religious apostasy, in a day of religious apathy. We can be faithful to God. Amen? And we can be faithful by remembering these realities that Paul told Timothy. Number one, persecution is promised. Number two, perverseness is predicted. And I love verse 14. This brings us to our third reality, and that is perseverance is possible. Perseverance is possible. So Paul tells Timothy in verse 14, this wonderful verse, But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. This is a wonderful verse that reminds us that though there's a lot of persecution and though the world is getting worse and worse, there really is no excuse for us to not remain in what we've been taught. And you are very blessed here at this church to have been taught a lot of wonderful things. And I just want to encourage you tonight, don't forget what you've been taught. Follow through. Continue. Remain. Persevere. Perseverance is possible. It's frustrating sometimes because you feel alone. You feel like nobody else is with you. But you can continue. Now, I believe it's important for us to notice the two ways that we continue. First of all, we continue in the things that we have learned by being confident that what we have learned is the truth. Look what he says in verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Doubting people are drifting people. Let me say that again. Doubting people are drifting people. And the reason why some people never remain and continue in what they've learned is because they've never firmly and fully been convinced that what they've been taught is actually the truth. And if you're not assured of something, then you'll easily desert it. But once you get confident that what you have been taught, and we need to be Berean Christians, studying the Scriptures to see if it is so. My dad used to say, as a pastor for 28 years, he used to say, don't check your brain at the door of the church. Just because Pastor Ennis says it, doesn't mean that it's, thus saith the Lord, check him out. He wants you to check him out. I know he's a faithful pastor, but pastors make mistakes too. Don't check your brain at the door. Be a Berean Christian. And then be convinced personally that what you are learning is the truth. And once you are convinced that it is the truth, you are assured of it, then you will remain. You will continue. The second thing he tells us is not only do we need to be convinced that what we've been taught is the truth, but he says we need to remember the people who taught us. Remember the people who taught us. Now, who do you think he's referring to? Well, first of all, he's referring to Timothy's godly mother and grandmother. Because it says in verse 15 that from a child he knew the Holy Scriptures. But I think Paul was not only referring to his godly mother and godly grandmother, but Paul was referring to himself. In essence, he's saying this, Timothy, I'm going to be dead and gone. Don't forget me. Don't forget what I taught you. You traveled with me. You learned my doctrine. You saw my manner of conduct. You watched my life. I poured my life into you. Remember who taught you. You know, it's really good for us to remember the faithful servants of God through the years who have impacted our lives. And I would encourage you, tell them thank you. And don't ever forget them. And when you're struggling and you're about ready to quit, just remember Pastor Ennis. Just remember the faithful pastors that you have had minister here in this place and the missionaries and the evangelists, maybe a Christian school teacher or some example that has impacted you by confronting you and helping you to grow. Remember the people who have taught you. I believe it's important that we talk to those people when we express our appreciation to them for all that they have taught us. And so Timothy is being encouraged, and I want to encourage you, continue in the things which you have learned. One of the great things about working at the Wilds Christian Camp is every time I drive off the campsite, I drive by the Wilds Camp sign. You say, well, what's so significant about that? Well, on the front of the sign, it says the Wilds, which is obviously promotion of the camp. On the back of the sign, when people are leaving the camp, is this verse, 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. And I've often stopped there by that sign after a summer of working, or maybe even as a camper when I was a kid, we would stop there with our bus and with our youth group, and we would get out and we would pray that God would help us not to forget what we have learned, to remember the people who taught us, to be confident in what we've heard, and to always stick with it. Folks, it's not wrong to change, but it's wrong to compromise. So don't compromise the truth of the gospel. Don't compromise the doctrines of the faith, the things that you have learned. Be faithful and remain. This is what Timothy is being challenged about concerning being faithful. These realities he needs to remember. Perseverance is possible. All right, look back at the text of Scripture and let's finish the chapter by talking about the fourth reality. Number one, persecution is promised. Number two, perverseness is predicted. Number three, perseverance is possible. Continue to remain in the things you've learned. And then finally, and maybe most profoundly and most importantly, don't ever forget, number four, the power which is profitable. The power which is profitable. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What is the power behind all of our Christian living? It's the powerful Word of God. And it's important that we would remember that it's impossible to be faithful without God's Word. Is not His Word like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Hebrews 4 verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Boy, tonight, aren't you thankful for the Bible? What a joy it is to hold God's revelation in our hands. Jeremiah 15, 16 says, "Thy word was found, and I did eat it. And it became the joy and rejoicing of my soul." Psalm 119, verse 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God." And so it's the Word of God that is the enabling power, the profitable power. He says it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God's Word shows us what's right, it shows us what's wrong, it shows us how to get it right, and it shows us how to keep it right. God's Word is profitable. I think Paul was a little concerned that Timothy would rely upon his amazing training. He had an amazing teacher, didn't he? The Apostle Paul. I think Paul was concerned that Timothy would rely upon his amazing talent because he obviously demonstrated great ability and great talent. And he is telling him once again that if you are not dependent on the Word of God, no training and no talent will ever make you fruitful for God. You know what we need? We need people who are desperately dependent upon God's power. And God's power comes through His Word. And so he tells them, I believe, in his personal life, Timothy, depend upon the Word of God. But notice chapter 4, verse 1, not only in his personal life, but in his public ministry, his preaching ministry. He was training to be a pastor. He says in verse 1, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, is appearing in his kingdom. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." And folks, I hope we know this. God uses personalities, but the power is not in the person, and the power is not in the personality. The power is in what is being preached. It's the Word of God that is powerful. And your pastor knows this, and any preacher knows this. There's always a temptation for a preacher to become pragmatic and to desire to please the people instead of preaching the Word. To get wrapped up in entertainment type or entertainment style of preaching when the Bible tells us we ought to be preaching the Word. What does the Bible say? Draw the truth right out of the text of Scripture. And so Paul was telling Timothy, in your personal life and in your public ministry, you better make much of the Bible. For the Bible is the power which is profitable. And may I say tonight that it is absolutely impossible for us to be faithful to God apart from His Word. You cannot possibly be faithful in a day of religious apostasy and religious apathy unless the Bible is going to mean something to you. We don't need less of it. We need more of it. Which means you ought to be faithful to your church. You ought to come whenever you can. You ought to read it. You ought to study it. You ought to memorize it. You ought to meditate on it. Because this book is the most profitable, powerful book in all the world. Supernatural power found in the profitable Word of God. Now, I'm preaching this message tonight because I'm longing for people of Hamilton Square Baptist Church to be faithful. But you will not be faithful if you forget the truth of the Bible. Forget these realities. You can be faithful when you remember what Paul told Timothy to remember. You will be persecuted. The world is not going to get better. You can persevere. It's hard, but you can continue. Be assured of what you believe. Remember the people who taught you. And don't ever try to do it without the power of God's Word. But if you will remember these realities, you can and you will be faithful to God. And you know what we need? We need faithful people. We need people who are reliable and steady and dependable. They're trustworthy. They're faithful to God. They're faithful to their commitments. They're faithful to their church. They're faithful to the Lord Jesus. That's the kind of people we need today. But you're not going to be that way unless you remember these truths. So I'm going to challenge you tonight to have a very good memory. Have a very good memory. Remember, persecution is promised. Perverseness is predicted. Perseverance is possible. And remember the power that is profitable for your life. And you know what? By God's grace, we can be faithful Christians in a day of religious apostasy. In a day of religious apathy. Can I encourage you tonight to put these truths into your life and allow God to change you through the power of His Word? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, thank You so much for Your Word tonight. Thank You for speaking to us and challenging us concerning this very important matter of faithfulness. Help us to be faithful by remembering persecution will happen. The world's getting worse. Shouldn't surprise us. But we can persevere. Help us to stand and remain and be confident in what we believe. And then, Lord, help us never to desert the Bible. Help us to know the power of the Word of God on our life. Lord, challenge us to change tonight. I pray that we'd be faithful Christians by remembering these realities of our Christian life. Change us. Help us to make decisions for You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.